I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is an example of, again, this president, when he was vice president, not being able to tell the truth. And here's the bottom line. I mean, for Joe Biden, whether it's pretending that he had a huge house fire and comparing that to what happened in Maui, or whether it is what we're finding out when the National Archives released over 800 emails that there was constant communication between the office of vice president, at that time Joe Biden, and this law firm. And yet he has literally lied and said he didn't know anything about his son, his businesses, his law firm, anything that he's doing, and that nothing was inappropriate. We know damn well it was inappropriate.
He knew damn well it was inappropriate. Those are the words of New Jersey Congressman Jeff Van Drew, Republican. But he's right to the point. He nailed it. How many times have we heard Joe Biden say, I know nothing about Hunter Biden's businesses. I never discuss his businesses. And yet there are photographs and now even more emails, not just off the Hunter Biden laptop, these direct from the National Archives, showing Biden in communications with Hunter and some of his business partners. But here's how it's changed a bit. He didn't use the name Biden in many cases. Not Joe Biden. He used pseudonyms such as, Robin Ware, Robert L. Peters, J.R.B. Ware. J.R.B. Ware. Those three initials, J.R.B., then the word Ware. There's a hidden meaning in that one, right? We're going to break down a lot of this because there's so many questions, and Joe Biden will have to answer, hopefully sooner than later. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, believe it or not. Look at the calendar. September 1, the 1st of September, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours, back-to-back. Larry Connors, USA. Right here on News Talk STL. So you don't need to change when we wrap the first hour. Stay right here with us. Reminding you also, while the program is on the air, there is a stream from the studio showing on both News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and of course on Rumble. And if perchance you can't watch now, but you want to watch later, and I see by the numbers many of you do watch late at night, early in the morning, whatever works for you, that's fine. Either watch or listen. You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. The video and the audio would be posted as podcast for you. You won't miss a thing. So in this first segment, we want to focus on, again, these emails released by the National Archives. Now, you know, if all of these emails supposedly were inside the Hunter Biden laptop, I know what the cry would be from the left. Oh, it's all been planted. It's all made up. It's fake. These are direct from the National Archives. And in fact, they released 5,000 plus emails and showing Biden using a pseudonym basically to cover the Biden family graft, as it's written by the New York Post. And I would agree with that assessment. Interesting here, the Post continues, and I want to share this with you. In ancient Rome, the consul, Scipio, was accused of abusing his power. He stood in front of the Senate, pulled out the written records of his reign. He pulled them out, and then he basically took them and did that. That's what I think. He's basically saying, my reputation is so impeccable, you can't accuse me of anything. And the audience cheered. regardless of him just then destroying evidence in front of them. Joe Biden, we're not cheering. We want answers. And to that extent, when we go back and look at some of these pseudonyms that he was using, Robin Ware, Robert L. Peters, J.R.B. Ware, again, Congressman Jeff Van Drew says, answers, answers, answers.
We know that at least 20 times he was on phone calls, literally with his son, and discussed business issues, and he won't be willing to come forward until we press more and harder. And that's why we're pushing so hard in the Judiciary Committee, because we want the truth. Thank God we have a Republican majority, because if we didn't in the House of Representatives, none of this information, none of it would be known.
That is an important point to keep in mind. If the Republicans did not control the House, everything that's been uncovered by the House Judiciary Committees, the Oversight Committee headed up by Comer, Senate Judiciary Committee headed up by Congressman Jordan, I pause there for a moment because I'm thinking about, we got so many other committees also underway. There are subcommittees, and they're all looking at how bad this is. All of this stuff would have been covered up. You never would have known about it. They never would have been exchanging emails if they ever thought they were going to be found anyway, even if they were using a pseudonym. And even as a senator, Joe Biden was indifferent. What the hell are they going to do? I'm like Scipio. I'll just tear everything up in front of them and say, you don't dare challenge me. Well, we do dare. Because you supposedly represent our country. And right now, we have a lot of questions about how much you have compromised this nation. And that is another issue. That is a treasonous issue. It's not just a bad news, good news story, left, right. It's the U.S. versus the rest of the world, at least those who are our enemies. And right now we have a lot of them that think they can run roughshod over us because we don't have a president that shows any backbone. Oh, he's willing to send more money to Ukraine. I saw a report that shows, you look at the latest money he wants to send to Ukraine, compared to what he's sending to a U.S. state, Hawaii, for the destruction in Maui, he's sending one-tenth of the money to Maui that he's sending to Ukraine. Well, Larry, Ukraine's, that's a big country, and Maui's just one small island. It's the USA. And I got to tell you, it's a blue state, or it has been. I'm not so sure it's going to stay that way now because of the way Biden has treated them as fellow Americans. Oh, I got a story coming up later with a guest that's going to infuriate you more about how the Biden administration is abusing U.S. citizens for either foreign countries or illegals. But again, all of these things that we're getting from the Freedom of Information Act request, that the National Archives admitting there were 5,400 emails Biden apparently sent under fake names. 5,400. A few of them trickling out to other sources, revealing more messages tied to Hunter Biden's Ukraine story, but the archives refusing to reveal thousands of other disclosure demands or messages despite disclosure demands from the House Oversight Committee. And again, to that extent, Congressman Jeff Van Drew, why aren't they all available?
Why is it that over 200 other emails, at least, have not been released, that they're using executive privilege to ensure that we don't know what is going on with those other 200 emails? I'll tell you why, because there's something wrong, there's something crooked, we need an impeachment inquiry. And you know, when you use executive privilege, it should be because you're worried about national security or have some serious reason. If you didn't do anything wrong, Joe Biden, make sure that it's all released. We want to hear the real story. and I don't think it's going to be a pretty story. I've been saying for a good amount of time now, we are ready, we're long past ready for an impeachment inquiry. It's time to find out what's really going on, and the impeachment inquiry gives you more investigatory powers, and the impeachment inquiry gives you even stronger subpoena powers that you have to get the answers much more quickly. It's time. Let's do it.
Let's do it. You know, for a long time, there have been questions about Biden's health, physical and mental in particular, mental capabilities. He will be 81 this November. He's not the only politician being questioned currently about the ability to serve.
When it comes to being mentally incompetent or having age-related health disorders, people need to retire. And we are in trouble. We're in trouble. Not only do we have Mitch McConnell, we've got Dianne Feinstein, we've got Fetterman from Pennsylvania that should have never been sent there, but we have Joe Biden, who proves to us every single time he gets on television that he is not fit to serve.
Those are the words of Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. And although she listed, there's good reason to question their capability. And, of course, the most recent is the Senate Minority Leader, a Republican, Mitch McConnell. Listen to how CBS reported that story.
There are new questions this morning surrounding the health of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. The senator abruptly stopped speaking when asked about his plans to run for re-election. It happened yesterday. It's the second time McConnell has appeared to freeze as well when addressing the press. A similar incident took place back in July. What does this mean for Republicans that their top member of the Senate is having these sorts of public health issues? And they're on camera, you know, they're right in front of us. We're all watching them.
As this second incident occurred, calls have increased, especially from the right of the Republican Party, calling for questions about whether he should step down. His spokesman said again that he felt lightheaded. That's what we heard before. McConnell has given no indication that he intends to resign, either as Senate Minority Leader or from the Senate position itself.
Now, that is the CBS political analyst, Finn Gomez, telling you the political scenario surrounding McConnell and the latest incident. I mean, if you saw it, it's really frightening. He's standing there being asked a question, and he's looking somewhere, nowhere in the room. He's just vacated. His mind. He looks comatose. And of course, everybody's wondering now that it's the second time. He's 81 years of age. What's behind that? Well, I'm going to let you hear from the opinion of a CNNN, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who's a neurologist.
Well, first of all, let me just say that what Scott is describing is really important to know, because whatever this is, it comes and goes, and it seems to come and go quickly. And in the world of when you're looking at the brain, that's an important sort of clue. What I saw, and this is, I think, an appropriate term here, is the term freezing. That does sort of describe this freezing of his body, freezing of his speech, freezing of his face, his hands. Hands were very clenched to the side of the lectern.
Now, that's exactly in a proper description of what happened. And a woman approaches him in this latest event. She's apparently one of the hosts of where he was speaking, and she goes up and talks to him quietly. And then one of his staff members, a man, shows up on the other side. They're talking to him, and then he appears that he's going to be able to continue, and the woman tells the crowd, when you ask a question, please speak loudly. That wasn't the issue. He heard the question. He just zoned out. And that raises other questions. Again, back to Dr. Gupta.
a short time later, he seems to be more lucid again and seems to improve. And when he walks out of the room, he's walking out moving his arms and his legs, which is important because people think, is this some sort of stroke or precursor to stroke such as TIA? Less likely given how quickly the recovery happens. You do think of things like a seizure, for example, a sort of mini seizure that can cause these sorts of symptoms, or even certain medications or coming off medications. People who have Parkinson's, for example, when their medications start to wane off, they may have freezing episodes. But again, it comes and goes. And I think what is curious is we've seen it twice. The aides that rushed to his side, they didn't seem so sort of affected by it, almost to the point where you wonder, is this something they're more used to? If this were the first time it happened, I would say, look, you got to get to the doctor, figure out, is something going on here with the blood flow to your brain or something? They didn't seem to react that way, which I thought was another important clue.
Now, that is important. And again, Dr. Sanjay Gupta is a neurologist. And he points out that the staff didn't seem to be overly concerned, even the first time, back in July. They didn't rush him off to the hospital. And now, after the second event, he was now being pronounced, I should say, by the U.S. Capitol doctor that he's okay to resume duties. I don't know that the doctor actually saw him. I've been checking, and I haven't seen evidence that he actually examined him. I don't know if he just talked to him or talked to others. But the other thing that Gupta points out, and again, we're talking about Senator Mitch McConnell, but I'm going to change course in just a moment. Dr. Gupta suggesting the way the staff reacted, like this is fairly routine, happens a lot, but it's been hidden. How many times has this happened in his office? Or a dinner, or something else. When cameras aren't on them, and it happens. They just kind of learn to accept it. Now, switching streams to that extent, I'm not going to challenge Dr. Gupta and his background as neurosurgeon, neurologist, but I will ask this, has he ever said one word about Joe Biden and his capability, his mental capability, and the way he moves and halts and stumbles? And has he said anything and classified an issue with his capability? Now, Gupta was not trying to condemn Senator McConnell. I will make it clear. But has CNN ever asked Dr. Gupta, what about Joe Biden? How's his response to various questions? How would you take that? I haven't seen it. I probably watch more CNN than you do. Somebody has to do it. If they're counting more than one time, then that increases their audience by maybe two. There is a book coming out written by Franklin Foer, author of The Last Politician. And apparently he had good access to Biden and some of his staff. And he writes in The Last Politician that Biden's advanced years were a hindrance, depriving him of the energy to cast a robust public presence or the ability to easily conjure a name. He said, striking so many morning meetings he presided over before 10 a.m. And then he says, in private, he would occasionally admit he felt tired. Coming up, more reaction to the Biden administration trying to push vaccines on you and how they're going to be giving away more veterans' monies. You're not going to like this story. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. You may not have caught and paid enough attention if you're not a veteran relying on veterans' benefits or have someone who does. And this is nothing new, but it's beginning to percolate and escalate. Back in July 2021, Secretary of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas and the Secretary of Veterans Affairs announced a new initiative to support our nation's non-citizen service members, veterans, and immediate family members, and so forth. That's a way of saying we're going to take care of those who serve in our military, even if they're not U.S. citizens at that point. We have done that before. But it's escalating now to taking money and robbing, my words, veterans' benefits from those who deserve them and giving them to illegals. My guest with more details on that wrote a book titled Veterans Benefits for You, Dr. Paul Lawrence. Glad to have you on board, Paul.
Hey, great to be with you, Larry, and thanks for caring about our veterans.
Well, we obviously should. I mean, it's they are willing, whether they even saw war, they signed up to do whatever the military needed, and nowadays we are all volunteer military, so they certainly deserve what we give them and what they should be getting. Now, bring us up to speed as to how much money is being siphoned off, and am I too strong to say robbed from the veterans and given to illegals?
Well, let's take a step back. So first, if you serve in the military, you get not only great pay and training when you're in the military, but when you get out, you have earned a series of benefits that the American public through Congress have bestowed on our veterans. So these are not entitlements, and your language is correct. They have earned these things, and that's why I wrote the book, to make sure people understand what's out there, because we found out when I was in office, veterans often didn't, okay? Now, the good news is they made a lot of noise about reprioritizing money for non-veterans and non-citizens. That never actually happened. The pushback was so large, plus it is illegal. Well, what I think we have to sort of fall back on is these benefits are set up for folks who have earned them. To prioritize, you know, money to folks who haven't earned anything is really just shameful.
And I'm glad you reinforced it is not an entitlement, because some are saying, well, they're entitled. No, you worked for it and you got it. And you talk about the pushback. I'm looking at one of the more recent pushbacks happening just this last, April, year ago, actually. Congressman Womack of Arkansas basically introducing legislation, the Veterans First Act, to stop the White House from taking from our veterans and giving it to border cities and illegals.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, Congress sets out a law and says, you know, this money is for veterans. You can't reprioritize it that way. That's just breaking the law. And so, you know, we have to make sure, we have to encourage our Congress people to, you know, provide accurate oversight on the Veterans Administration, right? There's a law that says you're allowed to, and this is something that was passed under President Trump, to get care in the community if VA can't get you the kind of care you need and in a timely manner. We're not so certain that's being followed very carefully, and people are waiting too long to get care in the community. So, again, we need to encourage our representatives to really be doing attentive oversight on what's going on.
Well, we've got some oversight, but we're also getting more lies from the Biden administration. We had last year Secretary Mayorkas testifying before the House Appropriations Committee when it came to diverting Veterans Affairs resources, and basically, it's all good.
Well, we need to encourage, so for example, veterans turn to VA a couple ways. They want to have access to health care. So we should be asking our representatives, say, how long does it take to get an appointment to see a doctor? Report these numbers regularly and be transparent. Veterans also want their claims process, right? I've been injured in service, and one of the benefits I describe in a book is disability compensation, a small monthly payment to help dealing with living expenses. They want those claims processed quickly. They should be publishing numbers that explain we complete those claims in how many days. So we really need to encourage more transparency, which, quite frankly, builds trust, as you know.
Well, the other point being, if you're taking it from the veterans and giving to illegals, we're leaving a lot of veterans homeless, not getting the care they need, the resources they need. That is wrong in so many ways.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. What's really wrong at another level is there is an awful lot of money in the VA budget for homeless veterans. So I don't understand why the homeless number is still greater than zero. Uh-huh. And here's something your listeners can do. Maybe you see this where you live. You go to a stoplight and a person stands up with a cardboard sign and says, homeless veteran, please help.
Yeah.
Anybody can call the homeless veteran hotline. I'll give you this number a couple times.
Okay.
It's 877-424-3838. Again, homeless veteran hotline, 877-424-3838. If you see somebody like that, call this number and report a location. They will come and determine if this person is a veteran and what resources are available for him and her. So that's something we can do to at least try to connect folks to the resource.
I'm going to repeat the number, and we will put it up on our page later when we put the program up as a podcast. 877-424-3838. Now, I want to get something clear. If someone sees someone holding up a sign claiming to be a veteran and please help homeless, so forth, so if they call the number, will they really be sending someone to check on them within some acceptable time, not the next day or 4 weeks later, looking for the same guy?
Yeah, I can't promise that one. That's something we no longer control. But that's the intent. And the other thing too is it's not just for homeless veterans. It could be there is a prevention element. So perhaps buddies who are on the cusp of homelessness, they've been evicted, they're couch surfing or something like that. You can call on their behalf and at least connect them to the resources.
Well, we have a lot of veterans who are helping other veterans, that they see the need and they're doing it, and God praise them for what they're doing. But when our own government, and they've served our nation, is not giving them what they're due, and on top of that, giving it to non-Americans, illegals, in fact, that just burns the hell out of me.
Well, it's hard to do anything but agree with you on that one. I mean, I just go back to the point again. These are earned benefits. Anybody can sign up to join the military. You can earn these benefits. But if you haven't, these are something veterans have earned, right? This is the law. This is the agreement we made with them. Go off and give us the very best military in the world. And when you come back, we should be striving to giving you the very best world-class veteran system possible.
You're listening to Dr. Paul Lawrence, author of the book Veterans Benefits for You, which I assume would also give more details on what benefits you can get and how best to go about it.
That's exactly right. Those are the questions I used to get. What benefits are there? How do I get them? How do I apply? Why is it so confusing? So I wrote the book to explain all the benefits, easy to read language, and explain this is how you get them, and even this is how you can get no-cost assistance from either your state or from a veteran service organization like Wounded Warrior or American Legion, that they can help take you through the process.
I know you've obviously done a lot of work above and beyond that book. I'm looking at, you served at one time as a vice president with the Kaiser Association and helping execs make informed strategic decisions and numerous other things and numerous writings. Give me an overall view, because as you well know, it wasn't too many years ago we were hearing Veterans Hospital after Veterans Hospital was in disarray, running rats all over the place, veterans being left in beds untended. Where are we now on the actual status of the VA hospitals?
Well, things have gotten a lot better. You'll be happy to know that you're right. You're talking about a period of time around about 2014 where there were just problems getting veterans in to get appointments, and the data was being manipulated, so nobody really knew, and that led to a lot of change. And you remember President Trump really campaigned to put veterans right at the front of his administration. So that continued on. There has been some slippage, but it is generally still positive. This team is not so veteran-focused as President Trump wants. A lot of the leaders at the VA are not veterans. And again, it's not necessarily as big a priority in this administration as it was before, but things are generally better, and hopefully situations like, you know, you're describing will never, ever happen again.
You know, since you raised that point, you've got 30 years of experience working with government leaders, and you've also been a partner at Ernst & Young, and you know all of this. And if they're going to have somebody run the VA and the VA hospitals, I know there've got to be qualified veterans that could have the job. It looks to me like it's been a patronage Democrat payoff as it is now.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. The person who runs the VA should at a minimum be a veteran. They should know how to run a large organization, and they should really know what it means to deliver excellent service to our veterans. So I think they're coming up short on a lot of those right now.
And at the VA hospitals, if you think they're doing a little bit better, you said some slippage, I fear you're just that we're only getting the tip of the iceberg now. If they're siphoning money off from health benefits for veterans, I don't expect that they're not cutting even more costs inside the VA hospitals.
Well, not so much. The budget continues to be large, and they continue.
Well,
to
I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you there, and I know you're very smart on this point. But just because the budget's large, it does not tell me it's being spent the right way.
Yeah, well, on that one, I'll agree with you. There continue to be a lot of reports by the Inspector General about where there could be improvement. So that ties to our oversight thing. But and you also see some legislation. Here's something that's really disturbing. People are congressmen are introducing legislation to require the VA to, you know, make same day appointments when a veteran contacts, not have an appointment the same day, but at least get an appointment made that same day so they know when they can get care. Seems to me it's rather sinful that we need a law to get folks, you know, to be able to get an appointment. So those are some of the really troubling things.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate it very much. Again, author of the book, Veterans Benefits for You. That would give you a good idea of what benefits you have coming and how to go about them. Dr. Paul Lawrence, I appreciate it, sir.
Hey, thank you so much, Larry. Have a great weekend.
You too, sir. And let me repeat the number for you folks again so you can copy it down. I know you're not all sitting there with a pen in hand. And if you're on the road, do not write it down. We'll put it up later for you. But he said if you call 877-424-3838, 877-424-3838, if you see someone claiming to be a vet and claiming to be homeless, you can call that number and hopefully they'll get some help and some fashionable, acceptable time. Coming up, one governor tells Biden, here's where you can stick your next vaccine. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
COVID lockdowns killed businesses, tore apart communities, and stunted our kids' education. And now they're talking about doing it again. So let me be clear. As long as I'm governor, Arkansas will never lock down. We will not close our schools, our churches, or our businesses. We will never make you or your children wear a mask. And we will never, ever have a COVID-19 vaccine mandate.
Good, 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 good on all points. And many other governors will be following the lead of what we saw with Governor DeSantis and those words from Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Listen, what they're doing right now, there is a new variant of COVID going around. There have been increased numbers of hospitalizations, some more serious than others. And again, it always falls to the extent of maybe your age or your health conditions in general, like any flu, cough, whatever is going around. That's not that uncommon. When COVID first hit our shores, we did not know what we're dealing with. And because, as Trump would say, the China COVID or Wuhan flu, they didn't want it. They didn't like those terms being thrown around. That's xenophobic. You're making the people sound bad. Well, what they were doing inside the lab was bad. And how it got out was another issue. But more important than that is we, through Dr. Fake, were helping fund the Chinese Communist Party figure out how to weaponize some viruses. I've said it before and I'll repeat it again. I think it's important for us to do some kind of research like that in case somebody takes a normal flu bug or a cold bug and they weaponize it where it is devastating to a nation. But we do it here. We don't farm it out, and we damn sure don't farm it out to the communists. But what we're seeing now is this new forecast of the new variant coming around and increased hospitalizations. The CDC recommending universal indoor masking for all teachers, staff, students, and visitors in K through 12 schools, regardless of vaccination status. That was basically what they did the first time. This time they're trying to be a little bit more loose. They're trying to make it, you know, maybe it will be, maybe not. Well, some schools are already jumping into it, and some cities are jumping into it. And some counties, you might be living in one where they might be quick to do it any moment. And then we're getting into these new vaccines are going to be presented. And are you going to be required to get a vaccination again? Because Biden is saying we're going to need billions of dollars to get these new vaccines out that will work. How do you know they're going to work? You don't know. You're buying, as the term is, a pig in a poke. You don't know what you're getting. They may be affected, they may not. Now, again, I'm not against you getting a vaccine if you want it. What I'm against is the government telling you you have to get it. And where are all of these who are all about abortions, who claim my body, my decision, where are you when it comes to the government telling you, you have to get the jab? Where are all those leftists that say, my body, my choice? They evaporate when that issue is put in front of them. Because it's not politically expedient, beneficial, does not meet the narrative. So Governor Sanders is serving notice right now. We're not going to be subjected to what we were before. And she adds additional.
We will never, ever have a COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Government should never loom larger than individual liberty in our lives. That's the principle our nation was founded on. And if the federal government ever comes to tell us to shut down again, my administration will fight to keep Arkansas free.
Well, I believe that she will. And I know others will as well, because we've been down this road. We are still seeing the repercussions of what happened when we went down the lockdown last time. In addition to the destruction of many small businesses, and of course even some mid-size and larger businesses suffered, then we had the bigger impact upon our children, because they were not allowed to be in school. They had to do the Zoom learning. And then you know how well that went. The only advantage that came out of that, though, was that parents were able to see what was being presented to their kids, and they realized, you're not teaching. You're indoctrinating my child. So if you're looking for some silver lining in it, well, I think it's a good idea to keep that in mind. But right now, with these latest variants coming out and the proposals for more and more testing, more and more consideration that maybe we do reinstate some mask policies, that we reinstate maybe mandated vaccines. And remember again also, they don't want to remind you, but let me remind you, how many illnesses that came up after people had vaccines that were basically healthy, and then suddenly they had issues, particularly young men, even children, down to age 8 or younger, and then up to around age 24 to 30, enlargement of the heart lining. That's not natural. And there's additional concern that COVID, as I'd heard one expert recently say, cannot get into all accesses of the body. It has primarily going into the lungs and kind of hard for it to access other parts of the body. But the vaccines that you're getting, they can go to every part of the body. And it might be related to some either immediate or future heart, brain issues, or others. I've never liked a lot of the red tape the government has in place. And Trump, to his credit, when it came to this thing, not understanding the full impact of it and relying upon Dr. Fake, who now we know had his fingers deep into it, and the other hand collecting cash from Big Pharma, there is a legitimate reason for good, solid testing of drugs before they're given to the public. And if you remember, even when they were released, they were designated experimental, so the drug companies could not be held liable. And yet they were saying they were safe and they'll be effective. They turned out not to be effective, and there are a lot of questions about the safety, not only the safety of one in particular drug company, but all of them. But Trump felt it was necessary to move at warp speed to get something to the public. And I do believe that some of the vaccines, no doubt, did save lives. I won't argue that point. What I will argue is that when you start telling everyone you have to do it and you have to do it this way, that's where things go south in a hurry. I'm going to spend more time on this in the next hour, and that's why we're glad we have 2 hours back-to-back for you, because I think this is going to deserve a closer inspection than I can give you right now on it. So that's coming up in the next hour. But for right now, let me pose a question for you. Riddle me this. Who ranks as the best president to ever serve, ever? Not so fast. Don't start throwing your answers at me yet. Because quite honestly, I'm convinced many of you are wrong. Yeah, I think you're wrong. Some of the answers you're already throwing at me. Because the question is, which president ranks the best to ever serve? And the answers I hear some of you shouting back, you're wrong. At least if you believe the robot at the White House.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The president has done more to secure the border and to deal with this issue of immigration than anybody else. He really has. The president has done more to secure the border and to deal with this issue of immigration than anybody else. He really has. The president has done more to secure the border and to deal with this issue of immigration than anybody else. He really has.
Wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. That's KJP on Biden being the best president ever. He's done more for the border than anyone else has. Really? The woman is either absolutely stupid or just says, I'm going to collect my paycheck regardless if I just go out there and repeat what I'm told. Now, she did not say it three times back to back, but I want you to hear it three times back to back because it just gets more and more stupid. This president, under his administration, has allowed at a minimum, 5 million illegals into our country. The number is probably above 7 million. He's looked for any way and every way to allow it. And we know it's so bad now because even in blue cities, blue counties, blue states, they're saying, enough. Enough, we can't handle anymore. They had no problem with all the illegals entering across the Texas border. Let Texas suffer. Deserve it. They're a big state. They're a big red state. Let them suffer. Oh, yeah, there are patches of blue inside. And I regret to admit my birth town of Austin being one of them. And you got San Antonio and you got El Paso, but for generally speaking, it's a red state. And the blue cities and states just could care less. And in fact, they also said, we will be a sanctuary city and a state for illegals. You come here, you won't be prosecuted, persecuted, anything. And in fact, we will kick veterans out of some shelter so you can have a place to stay. And we'll take other homeless people and move them out so the illegals will get what American citizens are not getting. That's what makes this president so great. He's done so much. I'd mentioned in one of the preceding segments about a new book coming out, The Last Politician. Interesting title for that, by the way. Written by Frank LaFour, talking about primarily a focus on Joe Biden. And Ford writes that in this book, The Last Politician, Inside Joe Biden's White House and the Struggle for America's Future, he pointed this out. It was striking that he's talking about Biden, took so few morning meetings or presided over so few public events before 10 a.m., his public persona reflected physical decline and times dulling of mental faculties that no pill nor exercise regime can resist. In other words, nothing he could do is going to change it. He just reached that point in life. And then he added, in private, Biden would occasionally admit he felt tired. That in itself is not condemning. A lot of us will admit, I feel tired today, worn down. He does not cite a source for some of these private remarks, according to the publisher, but said he had unparalleled access to the tight inner circle of advisors who surrounded Biden for decades, not just now, not just a KJP who goes up there as a White House press spokesman and says, he's the best president ever, 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 ever. I wonder if she's even heard of Ronald Reagan, you think? And of course, if Biden, God, I hate to say this, do not edit these remarks and make it say it's a statement. If Biden wins a second term next year, God, I did it, and he then completes 4 years, and he would be 86 when he steps down or is carried out. Let me put it that way. This election is important. Make sure you cast a vote. Second hour coming up. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.